listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Hi.
We are in week three of
Revenge Month.
Thank you. And that is Tammy's pick. But before we get to Tammy's pick, Matt, do you want to tell us about your jump scare that you had this morning?
Yeah. So it was, for me, it just felt like the scene in Halloween when Jamie Lee Curtis is like, she's walking down the street and she thinks somebody's watching her. Because, okay, currently I'm cooking a pork butt for Guido and Tammy's family for their niece's birthday party tomorrow. So I open the door. Harper and Ripley come outside with me. They just run out because, you know, they don't care. I go out.
They do not.
I chase after them, and I go into the, on the sidewalk, like trying to, like, come on, get back in here, get back in here. And then they just keep walking, like, closer to the, in front of your guys' house. And I just start walking closer, and I feel like I'm, like, being watched or something. Like I said, it's like that Halloween scene with Jamie Lee Curtis, and I'm getting closer because also now I see Major, your dog, in your fenced in area, which I'm like, your cars aren't here, so he shouldn't be out. So I'm a little concerned about that. Closer to the fence to see what's going on, and then, wah! Oh, that's why they're barking. Carol just popped out of nowhere like Michael Myers behind the shrubbery. It's like, oh, you're out here. I'm like, God! Icky.
It's icky and scary.
Where's the older one? I'm like, oh, he doesn't run out like as fast as he used to.
No.
A shorter Michael Myers than chain smokes.
That chain smokes.
She texts me. She texts me shortly after she went outside, and she said, "Your toy that you got the dog is broken already, and it sucks." Like, okay.
We watched a movie last weekend. Matt and I saw a preview for it when we saw Long Legs. I wanted to see it in theaters, but then I get nervous about going to the movie theaters now, so I'm just like a weirdo about
it. No, movie theaters suck now because people suck.
Yeah, exactly. So when it came out...
Who the fuck brings a 10-year-old to Deadpool and Wolverine?
Very true.
An asshole.
Fucking yes. Assholes.
But it came out on demand, so Matt bought it for me. So it's called Strange Darling, and we all watched it last weekend, and we fucking loved it.
I watched the beginning. I watched the end. I had to watch.
I watched it twice.
I watched it.
So good.
I want to watch it again.
The next day.
And Tammy, you said you really liked
it. I was like, we're not going to watch the movies that we're going to record.
No.
Because, you know, I have, like, limited time.
Yes, I do.
My shed is so packed. She's like, no, I don't want to watch Urban Legend again.
That's not true. But
but anyway, we put it on, and I was like, okay. And then as soon as we were like 2 minutes in, I was hooked.
Yeah.
And it kept me on the edge of my seat the whole movie.
It's a love story told in 6 parts. But out of order, which is very cool. And the cinematography is by Giovanni Ribisi. And I thought it was actually really good, too.
I love, and it's also like, if you like movies that go by chapters.
Yes, I do like a chapter.
We are in the age.
They're in order.
We are millennials, and we grew up in the Church of Tarantino.
I was going to say, like, there were several instances where one of us said, Quentin Tarantino fucking loves this movie, I bet.
Oh,
not because of the chapters, but just the... The whole thing was just so cool.
And it's funny I follow the guy who's in it, Kyle Gallner, on Twitter or X. I was getting a lot of like other stuff in my stream about the movie, and like really big people had been going to see it and like tweeting about it. So like J.J. Abrams and like Fede Alvarez and Kevin Bacon, they were all like, this movie's amazing. You have to go see it. Because they were struggling to get it into theaters because it's small. No one, I mean, Kyle Gallner is like a horror movie guy, but like he's not Tom Cruise. He's not Brad Pitt. You know.
Didn't you go to high school with him?
No, I went to a competing high school as him.
You went to a competing high school with him.
He went to
West. So he probably went to like a sporting event or Odyssey of the Mind competition with him.
He went to Westchester and I went to Downingtown. He's 2 years younger than me. So yeah.
Those are different schools.
But my aunt.
Yeah, I grew up in the area too. I didn't grow up in the rich kid area.
My aunt Paulette was his English teacher. And she said he always had to leave to go to like auditions because he's like been like, I was watching an SVU episode with him in it the other day. Him and Melissa Joan Hart. But he's been acting 25 years.
So you're saying that he went to New York and things worked out for him, unlike some people in the movie that we're about to talk about.
It's very true.
Just because of a little accident.
Tammy, tell us. I wouldn't
call that an accident.
Yeah. But. Tell us about your pick for Revenge Month.
All righty. So I, my movie came out in 97. And
1997.
It was directed by Jim Gillespie, and who really hasn't done much. And Kevin Williamson, who's done a lot. Some of Allie's faves, like Scream 1 and 2 and Vampire Diaries.
And Dawson's Creek.
And Dawson's Creek.
Starring Joshua Jackson. Sorry.
Oh, Dawson's Creek. I was like, oh God, we're watching the Skulls.
Well, that's God, why they I named wish. It Dawson Beach.
I know. I wrote that down.
Yeah. Yeah. So it stars Jennifer. It's the three name movie.
Yes.
Jennifer Love Hewitt, Freddie Prinze Jr., Sarah Michelle Gellar, Ryan Phillippe. We're going to watch I Know What You Did Last Summer.
For the last year, four friends have kept a secret.
Are you on drugs?
No.
Well, then what is wrong?
I've had a rough year.
But not all secrets stay buried.
Somebody sent this to me.
Oh, my God.
Someone knows.
I know what you did last summer. Ooh.
What they thought would be a new beginning.
Toast to us.
Is becoming a dead end.
Somebody tried to kill you last night. We have to go to the police.
If he wanted me dead, he could have done it.
And the mistake they made.
It was an accident.
There was no accident. It was murder.
What if he's still alive? Hey!
What are you doing here?
Is coming back to haunt them.
Oh my gosh.
He's after me too.
I got a letter.
I got run over. Helen gets her hair chopped off. Ah! Julie gets a body in a trunk and you get a letter? That's balanced.
She's waiting for us to unravel.
The wait is over.
What are you waiting for?
All right.
I heard about this legend.
Had you seen it? What did you think when I told you what I finally picked? Because I legit did not pick until like last week. Allie.
Yes, I've seen this movie many times. I was trying to remember if I saw it in theaters.
Or, I did.
No, or wait, were you counting how many times you saw it in theaters?
No, because I wouldn't have seen it multiple times because Joshua Jackson's on it. Although I was deep into Sarah Michelle Gellar as well because I loved
Buffy.
I wish I was deep in Sarah Michelle Gellar.
I think I did see it in theaters. I'm almost positive. But I was excited to watch it again. And I had read the book, too, or the short story.
Matt?
Yeah, I have seen this movie before. I didn't see it in theaters. You know I don't like slashers.
All right. Great.
Wow.
Guido?
Oh, yeah. So I was 10, so I couldn't see this in theaters, but...
Well, way to be young.
I definitely wanted to watch it when it came out on HBO. My boner demanded it because...
Gotcha.
Jennifer Love Hewitt. Hello.
Very smart.
Yes.
She's very so smart. Talented.
She might be the smartest.
I
loved her in Heartbreakers.
I think I saw I Still Know What You Did Last Summer in theaters.
I think I might have seen that in theaters.
That was the one that I saw.
I mean, Jack Black was in that. We were all obviously Jack Black.
Yeah, and
Mekhi
Phifer.
Mekhi Phifer, Brandy.
All right.
So tell us about what these group of assholes did last summer.
Okay, so the movie starts off with this young guy, and he's sitting on a cliff. The movie is supposedly in North Carolina.
I didn't get that at all. I understand that, like, fish towns are...
Fish towns.
Well, you know, like, fisher city, like, fish...
Yeah.
Port cities where everybody goes fishing for a living. I know that those exist outside of New England, but there's just the way that they... It felt like it was in like Massachusetts or
I felt
Rhode
like it,
Island.
It looked
something.
Like Laguna. The opening scenes with those
the
rolling
cliffs,
hills
yeah.
and the cliffs. I felt like it looked like that.
I assumed it was North Carolina only because it's Kevin Williamson and that's where Dawson's Creek was filmed. So that's
that makes
why
sense.
I assumed it was North Carolina.
I felt like it was West Coast until I saw the boats and the fish and stuff and I was like, okay, I know where they are.
And they did do some of the filming of the cliffs in California.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Motherfucker!
Like the rolling hills that you see Julia, the main character played by Jennifer Love Hewitt.
I'm surprised you didn't clock those. Be like, that's California. That's like...
That's where the Watts Riot
That's
happened.
Like 95 miles outside of LA where my TV was stolen when I was growing up.
You know what? I don't feel like it's nice to make... light of my plight.
Your childhood trauma?
Yeah.
It is trauma.
I had a high
don't
score of
Don't invalidate my feelings, you jerk.
So Julie,
yeah. So the rolling hills that she was driving through that we're talking about now were the same hills they shot Birds.
Okay, so that'd be Northern California more, probably San Francisco outside of.
So we're taken through these hills at dusk on the 4th of July. This young man is drinking a fifth of what we can, of brown out liquor, and he's just dangling on the side of this cliff.
Oh, he's got to be quicker than that.
Looking at the fireworks. And
almost out of there.
I mean, initially I was like, oh, this is a really nice spot to watch fireworks.
It's terrifying.
But then we're like, oh God, are you going to jump? Like, what the fuck are you doing up there?
He did look sad.
He looked sad. He was crying. And then he was enjoying the fireworks. All the while, we skip over to this beauty contest in town. We learn Sarah Michelle Gellar is a beauty queen.
Ugh, I love her so much.
And
should have been
go
the
ahead.
Other one. Should have been the other one. She's prettier. Just saying.
I would like to not judge women by their looks, but I find Sarah Michelle Gellar to be gorgeous.
And plus, I just...
Not as pretty just as that Canadian girl.
But just also how they look. Oh, wait. The other one on the stage? Or you mean Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh, yeah.
Canadian?
No, she was born in Waco, Texas.
Okay.
Jennifer Love Hewitt was born in Waco,
Texas. I had some bad information.
Okay.
Please allow me to rescind my previous comment.
And Sarah Michelle Gellar was born in New York City. Yeah. So neither one of those ladies were Canadian.
Did you see the contestant that was standing next to her? You know who that was?
No.
It was the actress that would later go on to play Leslie Knope's porn-adjacent Brandy Max.
The one who sings the song later in the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
That's hilarious. I didn't even notice that.
I was like waiting to see red lipstick on her teeth. She was so much older
than Sarah Michelle Gellar.
That's why Sarah Michelle Gellar won.
I know.
Yeah, maybe it was a small town and they didn't have a lot of people that would be in that beauty
or
queen category.
It just took her that many years to graduate high school.
I don't know.
She's on a pack a day on Noops.
Maybe the Noops are making her look older. Well, you're absolutely right.
That is what happens.
So she gets asked this like wacko question and she answers it. It was like about Mother Teresa. If she could...
How would you make the world a better place?
Yeah, in Mother Teresa's name. Or something. Yeah.
All you need is a light jacket.
She was like, I'm going to move to New York and I am going to just grace the world with my acting skills.
Which will make it a better place.
Through
art, I will serve my country. Yes. Is what she says.
Oh my God.
And her three friends are on the balcony, and Barry, played by Ryan Phillippe, who is her boyfriend.
Delaware.
He's an asshole.
From Newcastle, Delaware. His claim to fame was soaps and soap operas, which so was Jennifer Love Hewitt and Sarah Michelle Gellar were in daytime soaps.
Sarah Michelle Gellar played Susan Lucci's daughter on All My Children. I vividly remember because my mom would make us leave the beach on our summer vacation so she could go home at lunch to watch All My Children.
Oh, God.
And Sarah Michelle Gellar played like Susan Lucci's like evil trampy daughter.
Soaps used to be huge, Days of Our Lives.
Even Anne Hetch, who we see later in the movie, she won some daytime Emmys.
Everyone gets their start in soaps or horror sci-fi movies in the United States.
So Sarah Michelle Gellar won an Emmy for one of her daytime soaps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we know her from Cruel Intentions and Scream 2. She was a child. Scooby-Doo. She played Daphne.
Buffy.
Very hot.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer. The Grudge. And she was a childhood actor, and so was Jennifer Love Hewitt. So her most famous was probably Can't Hardly Wait, Ghost Whisperer.
Wasn't her tuxedo with Jackie Chan? Habit.
And now she's like a Hallmark sweetheart.
She's on 911.
Yeah, she's the dispatcher that calls about the B-Nado.
And then Ryan Phillippe was the first gay character on a soap opera.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
And he was in Cruel Intentions also and Crash.
That's
and
a good
a couple
movie.
Of other things.
Crash.
Yeah. When they won the
don't
Oscar,
forget
right?
The Way of the Gun with Benicio del Toro. That was a good one.
This was like the golden years for this group of actors. Like this was like millennial brat pack. Like Sarah Michelle Gellar, Freddie Prinze Jr., Jennifer Love Hewitt, Joshua Jackson, like all of those
Reese
people.
Reese Witherspoon.
James Vanderbeek, Joey, Steve Buscemi. All
Katie
of those
Holmes.
People could touch something and turn it to gold for like teenagers.
Any of those kids from the Home Improvement show?
No.
Jonathan Taylor young. Thomas.
He retired, really.
No, Richard Karn was the one that could touch stuff and make it. He was the one that kept Family Feud going.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so they're all BFFs. We find out, you know, Barry is dating the beauty queen. He's slowly wasting away due to alcohol. He's been drinking the whole time since this thing has started. And then we find out Freddie Prinze Jr.'s character's name is Ray, who it sounds like he was a poor kid in town and he befriended these guys who have money. His dad's a fisherman and everybody else has money. And then Julie is Jennifer Love Hewitt, main character.
Probably like
sweater the dating Ray.
Probably the valedictorian.
She's perfect in every way.
Yeah, perfect.
We know. So at this time, they're all getting ready to go off to college.
Doesn't she realize it's summer, though?
We're not. She's not wearing that stuff yet. Don't cut to that yet.
Well, they are inside, to be fair.
She has a tank top showing her very ample cleavage.
Her talent.
It's awesome.
And she's so skinny.
She's the tiniest waist.
Like, how?
Tiniest
how
waist.
Are those breasts?
With this.
That size.
I know.
With your tiny little body.
I know.
Excuse me, Miss Hewitt, you appear to have two bald men fighting in your shirt.
Yeah. I mean, at least the hip the hip should be wider, at least.
Yeah,
but it's not. It's like.
They don't look artificial.
Oh, no, they're not.
In the least.
They're not.
They look beautiful.
They are her boobies. Party of Five. She was also on Party of
That's
Five.
That's right. So, Sarah Michelle Gellar, I'm going to call her Helen. Because I don't want to say these names all the time.
That that's her
well,
name.
Well, it's because there's three names.
Well, what do you say? You
it's
look
a
like a Helen.
Helen Shivers.
Helen, Barry, Ray, and Julie. Those are boring names.
Barry?
But this book was written in 1973.
Okay.
So let's bear that in mind.
Tell me I could eat your pudding, Barry.
Barry. So she wins this, like, under the sea, whatever it's called. Her crown has like seashells and shit on
it.
They go to an after party. We meet like her sister, who's a cunt bag.
Massive.
Elsa.
Veronica
who's
Vaughn.
Played by Bridget Wilson. She's in Billy Madison.
That Veronica
Mortal Kombat.
Vaughn.
Married to Pete Sampras. Also, Elsa and Helen.
Yeah, I know.
Like, who are these parents?
And then we meet.
Cunt queen. I love it.
Max. Who is also a former friend of Ray, who is also a fisherman.
Fucking Johnny Galecki.
Johnny Galecki. Roseanne.
He played the shittiest Rusty in the history of the National Lampoon series.
Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
That's
Rusty.
Right.
That's just because you don't like Christmas
that's
Vacation.
That's right. I said the Christmas one is the worst one.
And
you're so weird.
He does not look any different than he did in that movie.
No, he looks exactly the same.
Yeah, Big Bang Theory is not a funny show.
But I like how they try to make him be like a tough guy.
I said, I was like, so we're operating under the delusion that Johnny Galecki can beat you up?
He did some push-ups that morning.
Uh-huh.
And he's macking on,
he
like...
He did a full pump.
He's got a full
Julie.
Pump.
Yeah, he says, like, he asked her to go before she leaves for college. He's like, let me take you out. And she's like, yeah.
I'm literally here with my boyfriend.
My vagina clenched up. And then he's like, we've been friends forever. You can't just leave. I'm like, haven't you all known each other forever? I mean, it's like a small coastal town.
And then you're
all probably half related.
Meanwhile, I love
point.
It because like Ray or Freddie Prinze Jr., he's just sitting there doing like, I felt like this whole movie, he's doing his best like Andy Samberg doing Mark Wahlberg because he's like, huh? What's going on?
Yeah, and he was meant to be that what? Character what? That's like, everybody's foul,
I mean,
and I'm here and I'm nice.
Let's
and...
get it out of the way early. Freddie Prinze Jr. is not a great actor. Okay, I love him,
what?
But his talent in acting is not great.
I really wish.
Have you seen Rollerball? It's amazing.
He's not in Rollerball.
He's not in that.
Oh, they're not all the same person?
No. Freddie Prinze Jr. is in that god awful baseball movie.
And
Summer
she's
Cash.
All that.
Freddie
she's
all that.
No.
And Scooby-Doo.
When a producer needs a generic white dude in the mid 90s.
I honestly would call him like a D-list Keanu.
Oh.
Disrespect to Keanu.
Come on, what is this?
I said D-list Keanu.
He is breathtaking.
D-list, D is still a passing grade.
Where? D is not a passing
it's
grade.
It's below average.
So Max is macking on some Julie time. All of a sudden, Barry barrels in and he's like, get the fuck out of here, basically. And he's like, you're not cool. Get out of here. This is me translating.
Mm. Oh.
And Max and him are going to get into a fist fight, but Ray comes in and he's like, stop it, boys. Stop it.
I like how you make her. You make him sound like the mom from Just Friends.
No, that's that's my Lola voice.
Oh,
when
nice.
When Lola's barking at all the other dogs.
Stop it, guys.
Stop it, boys.
Kayate.
They go down to Dawson's Beach.
What? Dawson's Beach?
Where the friends are telling urban legends.
Wait, what?
So is
what?
I wasn't gonna.
Tammy learned something upon the rewatch of this movie.
Do you mean
movie.
The exact urban legend that's in the movie? I
yeah,
picked?
Exactly. I sat next to her during her moment of clarity. Okay, and she was just like, all I heard was, "Oh, Oh.
You're so full of
shit. And then she said out loud, I get it now. And I'm like, I need to record this.
I want to throw my fucking phone at you right now.
Tell me. Was like the.
She's with it now, guys.
Was the music from 2001, like when the monolith is descending?
I had forgotten that they tell this story in this movie, so when it happened, I was like, oh my god.
I almost pissed myself here. Like, I was watching this at work, and I was like, oh!
And just like that, Tammy's up to speed.
Yes.
No, I would like to retroactively pass Allie's movie, because now it makes sense.
No.
She still didn't like it.
No, but the rest of the movie wasn't about that.
No, it's true. The only reason they tell it is to lead into the fact that the killer uses a hook.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And they all had like a theory on how that urban legend really pans out.
That's usually how it works. Everyone hears a different version of it.
Yeah, so they split up. Barry is shit-faced shenanigans at this point, and Sarah Michelle Gellar sobs, and then Ray and Julie split. So this is a sexual encounter between Ray and Julie
on the beach making in the sand.
Love
her first,
making whoopee.
How do you know it's her first? Does she say?
He says that. He says, are you sure? And she says, yes.
Oh,
so I'm
he
assuming
was referring
it's her first.
To the coarse, irritating sand that or they were about to get into every orifice.
They don't even have a fucking blanket.
Nope.
No, but it's okay.
She has so much sand in her vagina right now, it's not even funny.
Imagine if you dropped a
really
slug
happy,
into sand. It's all stuck with
what
pebbles.
What they did was her sweater and her jacket and her long skirt, they laid that down like towels. So they were fine there.
Okay.
She had all that shit on.
That's true.
I hate the costume designer of this movie.
And then Helen is laying on top of Barry. They're making out, and she's telling him about their future life together, where she becomes a famous actress, and then they make babies, and then she becomes a stay-at-home mom.
That's a good life.
Not with this Alkie.
And Barry gets either...
Well, he's rich.
Barry's going to get drafted by the Steelers.
Oh, that's right.
The Cowboys. I was like, fuck you. I want you to die.
Oh.
So now they're getting ready to get back into the car. They brought Barry's
Beamer.
And Barry is like, nobody's driving my car but me. Ray takes his keys. And then Barry's being a prick, you know, screaming out of the rooftop and drinking.
How many times do you think he's told the McCockiner joke, Barry? You know?
What is that? I don't know what that is.
He likes to say his last name is McCockiner. His name is Barry McCockiner.
Oh.
You know he tells that all the time.
So they're going through those winding hills. Then Barry drops his booze on Ray's lap, spilling alcohol everywhere. They're all screaming at Barry to get out of the fucking window. And then all of a sudden, bam! Bam. They're screaming, they're spinning, the car's spinning, and they stop. Ray's head is still out of the sunroof, and he's got blood all over his face.
Barry's head.
And they're like, he's like, what the fuck? Like, he blamed it on Ray. So they get out of the car. They're like, we hit a deer. They're looking around. They find out the blood on Barry's face is a man.
It's from a human-shaped deer.
They find a boot.
Oh, a boot.
And they find a body. And the dude's face is all bloody.
Mangled.
And we hear the first of many Jennifer Love Hewitt screams, of which I will say she has a great scream, but it's way too much in this movie.
Yeah.
She screams at everything.
They let her chew it up.
Barry thinks that they're fucked. He wants to run. But then there are people with morals there. And there's like, so Julie is trying to convince everybody that they need to call the police. You know, Ray is like, I have no future if we don't leave this guy. Then who drives by?
Johnny Galecki. Max? That's who I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
What seems to be the problem?
All the men in this movie have way too much hair gel.
And again, we get another trying to make Johnny Galecki as a tough. You know, Ray comes up, oh, hey, Max, what's going on? He's like, try not being talking up to me like that,
you can wipe that shit and grin off your face.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They all of a sudden have some random accents, too.
Yeah, and they had carried the body over to the side of the road over guardrail, and were pretending that Barry was barfing over the side to try and create a diversion so that Ray and Julie could talk to Max and get him out of there.
I know they're kids, and they're in the moment, and like, this is a very crazy, but they're so fucking stupid.
Yes.
Like, yeah. They're like, there's no way they're not going to believe us. They'll give you a fucking breathalyzer.
But they won't believe that Barry wasn't driving. That's what they'll say. That's what he was worried about.
And Ray was covered in alcohol.
They can all say. Yeah, but
they could say Ray was driving. He spilt beer.
Oh no, they don't make the right decision. Absolutely, but
they're dumb teenagers.
They're dumb teenagers.
Yeah, they're so stupid.
They're young, scared and they're dumb.
They're young, dumb, and full of cum.
I mean, Julie is definitely.
Yeah, someone has less cum.
So they put the body of the guy in the trunk, drive to the marina, the dock.
They've seen a mob movie.
They're still weighing out.
We're gonna throw the body into the pier.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still weighing out their decision on whether this is the right thing to do or not.
It's too late now. You already moved the fucking body.
Well, then the guy, like, comes out of his coma and goes to grab them. And then they push him in the water.
He gets a handful of that titty.
But he grabs something on the way down, right?
He grabs
Helen's crown.
So then Barry jumps in the water
to get the evidence
back. And dumb, that's where we leave the body. Oh, so then they make a pact that they will never talk about this again and that they'll take their secret to the grave.
Agree. And of course, you know, what's her face is reluctant to agree.
Yeah. And then Ryan Phillippe has the shortest fuse in this movie and grabs her by the throat, screaming in her face.
Maybe she's into that.
And Freddie Prinze Jr. is such a puss in this movie.
Yes.
Come on, Barry, let her go. I'm sorry. If anyone touched me that way, I would hope somebody would pull that person off of me. Because the fact that he's just like, come on, Barry, let her go, man. He is strangling your girlfriend who you just fucked.
He's a limp noodle.
It's such a noodle.
It's embarrassing for a Jedi Knight.
Especially since they just made love. He took her virginity. Cartoon. And then he had the nerve to tell her that there is the highest statistical probability of high school sweethearts ending up together.
That's just not true. That can't be true.
Yeah, he sucks.
So, 1 year later, we're taken to Julie at college. She's got a roommate.
College is it?
She's got a scissor sister.
They don't say it's in Boston, though.
Nah, it's the same college. It's the Urban Legend College.
I don't think it is.
It totally is.
The same university.
Oh, you looked it up?
I didn't look it up.
I saw it.
Oh, you did?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, University of Toronto, then.
Yeah.
She also has really stringy.
Oh, you and these bangs. You hate these bangs.
Two strings.
Well, everything is greasy. Stringy, greasy bangs, stringy, greasy hair. I understand you're depressed, but can we wash our head?
She is harboring a pact and a secret of murder.
Yes, a pact for a whole and a secret year of murder.
I wonder if she can, like, figure out what the weather's like by holding
it. Oh, my God.
So she's flunking out of college. This valedictorian straight-A student is getting bad grades.
Yeah, yep.
She has like double F.
She's not calling her mom.
High five me right now.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, she's as skinny as a rail with these flotation devices.
She got kicked off the swim team.
And she's heading back home.
This is where I was like, did her college roommate drive her from Boston to North Carolina?
I know. And she has her teddy bear. Only her teddy bear.
Wearing.
Or whatever. Her stuffed animal.
Wearing a blossom sun hat.
Yeah.
A cropped sweater and a floor length skirt in July. North Carolina.
The real criminal again of this movie is the costume designer.
Very trendy stuff happening.
And carrying a teddy bear. Like, I don't know what.
It's like a music video.
So we learn, Julie hugs her mom.
Is that roommate later in the sequel replaced by Brandy?
Brandy is her roommate in the sequel, but they live off campus in an apartment.
So mom gives her a hug and gives her a letter that came to the house. No postmark.
No postmark.
No at return address.
Where did this come from? How should I know? It's like, you fucking live here.
Also, I feel like in this year period, Jennifer Love Hewitt's character has lost her father.
Bummer. Yeah.
And Sarah Michelle Gellar's character has lost her mother.
Yep.
People have died in this year.
She goes upstairs and she opens the letter and it says,
"Hi, dear Slim, I wrote you and you still ain't calling. I left myself my pager and my phone at the bottom."
What is that?
It's an Eminem song.
Oh,
Stan.
Sorry.
Come on.
It says, "I know what you did last summer."
Yes, it does.
And then I like how she spends hours reading it as if the note, the letters are still in the order in which they were. Oh, those are words.
And now she must bring everyone back together and see what they're up to. Also getting letters.
They're waxed, you know.
So she goes to see Helen first, naturally. She,
I love this part.
She goes to a general store in town. Helen's family's general store that also sounds closed. It sells a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
It's like a family full of knick-knacks. Sears, kind of. Yeah.
Okay. And Elsa the bitch, the ice queen, is behind the counter. And
queen of cunts.
She's so mean.
We see that, you know, Helen, she tells Julie that Helen isn't living in New York.
You know what? I need to talk to Helen, and I was wondering if you could give me her New York number.
Her New York number?
Yeah, I need to talk to her.
Fact check, Julie. Helen doesn't have a New York number. If you need to speak with her, I suggest you go to Women's Fragrances, 10 feet to your left.
And it's literally right next to where she's standing. And Helen just dumps a bunch of perfume boxes on the counter, looks over, and she's like, hi. So then they go see Barry.
Macaquing her.
Also, mind you, what kind of outfit is Sarah Michelle Gellar wearing? She's wearing an arm cuff.
Wait, I love it.
Is this the outfit I like? Arm cuff. Tammy, is this the outfit I'm talking
Sarah
about?
Sarah Michelle Gellar or Jennifer Love Hewitt?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Sarah Michelle Gellar is wearing like a black skirt with like a white top. An arm and then cuff. She has like an arm cuff. Yeah.
Yeah, she's dressed up like those arm warmers. Those old
no, like an arm, like arm jewelry, like upper arm jewelry.
Oh yeah. I follow.
She's dressed like one of them old timey cigarette sellers at nightclubs.
Jennifer
like
Love Hewitt is wearing overalls.
Or manager at Claire's.
Yes.
Overalls with a tank top.
So Barry still is at home with his parent.
I think he's home from college, though.
It looks like his mom is on the phone, and he's just cursing in the background.
Barry, they go to the same college.
Yeah, Barry and Julie go to college together. He's just home, too.
Yeah, because Sarah Michelle Gellar says, you guys go to the same school, and Jennifer Love Hewitt says, oh, it's a big campus. Well,
he blames it on Max.
He blames it on Max.
And they go to meet him at the fish market. Oh, the letter.
Because Barry's mean, and he's like...
Yeah.
You said we'd never talk about that.
No, but someone says something, and he says, do you guys know what a mirror is? You look like shit run over twice. Like, he's being an asshole. They go see Max because he was there that night, so they assume maybe it was him, like, fucking around
that
with
wrote
them.
That wrote the note.
Yeah.
So then they see Ray at the fish market, and Ray is now a fisherman.
Turns out my dad was a fisherman. I'm a fisherman like my father before me.
That's right.
Oh, he does say, like, I didn't know him, but you knew he was a fisherman?
He was a man of the sea.
So your mom was like a dock girl?
They sea see hag, Max. They call them. And Barry corners him and threatens him with the hook. So Ray and Julie stop and then they talk for a little while. Then we go back to Max, who is working in the same building by himself. He's cursing Barry's name. He turns around to do some things.
Tough guy stuff.
He's putting like crabs into like a steamer.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, there's a fisherman with a hat and a hook. And he just guts him.
Right into
the tummy. No, the neck.
The neck.
And he pulls him over a table and drags his ass.
It's pretty graphic, actually.
Yeah. It's really gruesome. I thought this was a pretty strange first kill.
Why?
Technically, it's the second kill.
You kind of led to believe like it might be one of the kids involved, right? But up until that point, okay. But then it's definitely not one of them, because why would you kill that guy? He's clearly not involved.
Because you think they take away him as a suspect too early?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's because he knows he's the toughest guy in town, and you've got to take him out.
He does like to wear a leather jacket.
So they live in Letterkenny?
Well, also because the killer knows that he's sweet on Julie, so if something bad happens to Julie, then this big badass Johnny Galecki is going to come after you for revenge.
I hear he rolls up packs of cigarettes in his sleeves.
So we switch to Barry. He's working out in the gym.
Thank you.
Staying fit. Taking a shower.
Oh.
Thank you.
Okay.
So clean.
I mean,
six-pack.
In Cruel Intentions, you see his butt.
You do.
His balloon knot?
I mean, we all remember it.
Then he's walking through the locker room, the steamy locker room.
It is steamy.
He is partially dried.
Yeah.
In a towel.
I mean, he's pretty shiny.
He looks... And there is a photo of his car in the locker he's using.
Oh.
And the photo reads, I still know.
And his jacket's gone.
His jacket's gone.
Because he's the kind of person who still wears their high school letterman's jacket.
Correct.
No.
And...
My duster.
He's freaking out. Goes to his car and somebody tries to run him over. Literally runs him into him and he flips over, almost going into the water. The fisherman hits him with his car and then gets out and grabs his hook. And that's it, right?
Yeah. And just leaves him.
Barry's in the hospital.
Yep.
The ladies come to his side. They're doing like recon.
They're trying to figure out
who this guy could
be. This guy could have been.
Well, Jennifer Love Hewitt's character says that it was David Egan because in the news clipping she found he is the body that washed ashore. So she assumes it was him. So they say it must be a family member who's doing this. Of the guy we hit.
So they do some investigative work. Thank you. And they go to the sister's house.
Who's out in the sticks.
Out in the sticks.
Anne Heche.
Can I?
Before she got Harrison Ford.
You may know her from two movies.
Volcano.
Amazing.
7 days, and eight nights?
6 days, seven nights.
Oh, right.
The Psycho remake.
Volcano. She dated Helen.
Well, I just said.
Or Ellen. She dated Ellen.
RSVP, she is dead.
Yeah, she passed away.
Can I?
Did she get gutted by
describe
the
fisherman? Describe the clothes that Julie and Helen are wearing at this moment.
Yes, please.
So Julie is wearing yet another long sleeve cropped sweater.
It's fucking summertime.
It's yet hot, another
full length floral skirt. Whereas Helen is wearing denim cutoffs, looks hot, with a green tank top cutoff.
Yeah, she
top.
Looked. She looks
great.
Good.
She looks great.
She's dressed
and
for
platforms.
She's dressed
which
for the season.
I can assume are Steve Madden or Delia's.
Anne Heche is wearing a dingy white tarp with a hole cut out of the middle.
Anne Heche is basically Buffalo Bill. Yeah. What are you doing here? Everyone has an accent except for the four main characters. I mean, it is North Carolina, so they all should have an accent, but whatevs.
Yeah, and it should be strong.
Yes.
So the sister's creepy as fuck, and she lives in the sticks all by herself. She basically says that she thinks her brother wanted to die. They don't get much information out of her. And then they go back to Helen's home. Helen's dad is a zombie. Like Allie said earlier, her mom died this year.
Did she get gutted by the fisherman?
They don't say it. I just assume she did. Because in the beginning of the movie, when her cunt sister asks if she wants to go home from the party, Sarah Michelle Gellar says, oh, tell mom we'll be home later. And now we're a year later and the mom's gone and the dad seems like a drunk. I'm assuming she either left or she died. Also,
And the sister and her have taken over the store.
Unhinged Diet Coke scene that Sarah Michelle Gellar does. She goes into the kitchen. She gets a Diet Coke. Awesome. I'm a Diet Coke girl. She gets a glass. She opens the Diet Coke. She pours about a quarter of it into the glass, takes one sip, and then just leaves everything. I'm like, what are we doing? Why did you dirty that glass?
We're having
and why
it later.
Are you not finishing that Diet Coke? And why is there no ice?
Because
I don't understand what's going on.
Because there's a paramecium in her Diet Coke.
No, this isn't sign. It's unhinged behavior.
It's old soda.
Well, I thought you liked her in this movie.
She had a thought, and she had to go upstairs.
Oh, she's I thought you
drinking
people were...
like, and then one sip, and then just leaves everything. I'm like, clean up after yourself, bitch.
Maybe she had to poop.
Sure.
She wanted Elsa to clean up, because that fucking bitch needs some sort of something to get back at her sister.
God. She comes in and calls her pathetic because she's brushing her hair. Like,
yeah, she needs
so
to get dicked
mean.
Down. That's all.
So while Helen is drinking her Diet Coke in the kitchen, the fisherman enters the front door. What?
Yeah.
What? Hook in hand and headed upstairs.
No one locks their doors.
I love how he turns into the first room on the right of the stairs. It's just like, that's how it was in Amityville. It is in a lot of movies. It's always that first door on the right up the stairs. So she's in her room. There might be somebody in the closet. Her reign is coming to an end.
She's brushing her hair.
She's flicking that bean.
No.
Elsa comes in and she's a little bitch.
Come on, flick on my bean.
And then...
Come on, flick on my bean. Three is coming in.
And then she goes to bed and wakes up and her hair's all chopped off.
Yeah, I said, if this fisherman doesn't want to be a fisherman anymore, he has a second job as a hairstylist because it is quite a good haircut.
She looked better with the fucking...
She looks good with the haircut.
It was thinned out a bit.
It was great. Yes, he thinned it out.
He's like, okay.
He removed some of the weight.
So Helen screams her head off, calls her BFF, and her BFF races over to her house. But as soon as she gets in front,
she has to put on a cardigan first and another sweater.
This is the outfit.
Can you describe? Because she's looking good.
So it's a blue tank top, crop top. She has like a little. What is this, the crochet top?
It's like no?
Yeah, it's kind of like a little crochet top.
Sweater
but like, what do they used to call them? They're not called dusters. They're
shrugs.
Pullover. Shrugs. So it's like a little shrug cardigan. And then she has very low rise brown corduroy pants on with like half of her very flat stomach showing and her boobies are out.
Awesome.
Still hasn't managed to wash her hair though.
We hear this like weird like scratching sound in the trunk.
Yeah.
She's in the car. She gets to Helen's house and she hears these weird sounds in the trunk. She goes into the trunk and what does she see? Her friend, Max. In the trunk.
Max dead. Crabs all over him.
What a crabby situation.
Blue crabs everywhere. Barry and Helen run out into the street because they hear her screaming. And then she says, what are you waiting for?
Oh, man, this scene is so powerful.
Just chewed it right up.
What are you waiting for?
Why did he make coleslaw out of Helen's hair? He's fucking with us, Barry. I'm sorry.
Like,
This was the scene.
Yeah, like, this is a big scene. So after that little outburst, Barry punches Ray in the face and says it's him because he's the only person in the friend group who hasn't been victimized
by
Regina
George. You got a letter?
You got a letter.
But I got a letter.
I got hit by my own car. And you have crabs in your trunk.
Our pets' heads are falling off.
It's kinda like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's no crabs in the trunk.
No crabs.
Yeah, the crabs are gone now.
Yeah, now the crabs in the body are gone, too.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, that is everything else totally believable. This particular part.
So here's the thing, though. I will say
this. It looks clean as fuck.
They do, but
like detail.
She stops the car to open the trunk and then gets scared, and she runs to Helen's house. So how far away is she from Helen's house?
Just outside.
We don't know that, though. Like, she runs.
But you're also telling me that nobody was home on that street and was able to see some random dude just pull a body out of a trunk in a
and
crabs.
No.
He had to have gloves on, or if he just had the tongs. If he had tongs, it would have taken him forever to get those crabs out of there.
Or do you think they just noticed that the body belonged to tough guy Johnny Galecki, and they were like, oh, better mind our own business.
Very true.
Maybe she abandoned her car.
Leroy Brown Galecki.
Oh, no, because she goes back to it.
They go back
That's
to
right,
it.
And they're gone.
And it's clean. Right, and it is very clean, I will say that, yeah.
Yeah,
it's like he had
continuity
a
flaw.
It's fine.
So
we all know horror movies are perfect.
Absolutely.
It's a slasher movie, dude.
I can't remember where Billy Blue came from.
That was the name when they went to Anne Heche the first time.
Yeah.
She said that after her brother died, that one of his friends from high school came and his name was Billy Blue.
Okay.
And then we find out later
who
was Billy Blue.
Okay. So,
yeah, because Julie's going to go back.
So they're trying to figure out more clues.
Yes.
From the sister.
Anne Heche graduated the same year as Elsa. So they go and look in Elsa's yearbook.
Yes.
But they don't see anyone named Billy Blue. So Julie's like, well, maybe
this guy doesn't exist.
Maybe I'll take the yearbook to her and she can point it out. Helen stays back because she has to be in the parade.
That's right, because she has to give the crown to the next winner.
With that hair?
It's great. In that green dress.
Oh my God, she looks so hot.
I think the cowl neck
was so in then.
So cute.
She looks tired.
I think it was fucked up that she blew off inventory.
Well, she's very nervous also. She's like
inventory
looking
is
all
very
around.
Important.
They needed her.
She was
inventory.
Needed.
Well, maybe they should have asked her before the night before.
She's just throwing her career away.
God.
You mean to tell me Elsa didn't know about the parade?
Yeah.
It's
she's
fucking
such a bitch.
4th of July every year.
Deserves what's coming to her.
So it's the anniversary.
Yeah, that's
of
weird,
the
it's
death.
Not, it's not quarterly inventory. It's not end of month inventory.
And you would know.
It's just
you would.
Sister
it's
being a bitch inventory.
It's apparently inventory that has to happen on the 4th of July.
Oh, because they're going to have the big 4th of July sale. That makes sense.
Correct.
So nobody steals stuff.
I will say this. They are probably closed.
Oh, they're clothed.
No, closed.
Oh, right.
The store's probably closed, so they could do inventory.
So the parade is going on. Barry is on the flute.
I just love it.
Protecting her from no one.
But everyone wears a slicker because it's, you know, a fishing town.
Isn't he also...
You have a slicker, don't
hot?
You?
Like, if you need to wear a slicker, you wear it. If you don't, you don't.
No, I agree. It is weird to just be wearing a slicker when you're not on the boat.
And a hat. It's not raining.
With, like, the collar up.
Yeah,
but it is sunny. And some people don't want to get burned.
Wear a baseball cap.
But again, Barry's wearing a sweater. Like, I mean, this... I don't know.
Isn't he also just sitting there drinking on the float, too?
No, he's not.
He's just sulking.
He's just, like, protecting her. Because at this point, you were like, oh, maybe they'll get back together.
And he's got,
shitty
like,
bodyguard.
Injuries. He's got injuries to his face. Yeah.
His arm's broken.
So they're looking all around, trying to spot the killer. And she sees him on the roof.
She's moving.
One of the buildings.
Pulls out the hook.
Meanwhile, Julie is back at Missy's house. Missy's the sister. She shows Julie a note. It says, I'll never forget last summer. Julie
like
tells Missy about the tattoo on the dead guy's arm that she saw. And Missy was like, my brother doesn't have a tattoo. And he wrote a ransom note.
Or a suicide note.
And he killed himself. And that was new because we didn't know that he had killed himself. But she showed her the suicide note.
He must have seen
and she hid it because of the insurance money.
She says he went up there to die because that's where Susie died. Because exactly. His girlfriend died in a car accident the year before.
Yes.
And so David Egan went up to that road to die and he killed himself. Or that's what she thinks.
Yes.
Yeah, because the suicide note turns out to be in the same handwriting as the letters that they were all getting.
So then it's like an epiphany in Julie's head. And she's together. Like, it wasn't him that we hit. By the way, none of this is in the book. None of this backstory is in the book.
It's not needed.
In town, the parade is over and we are back at the pageant.
Ooh.
Helen will be handing over her crown and...
Where the same contestants from last year are also participating.
Yeah, that woman who's singing Fame.
She's been competing for 38 years.
There is no way this lady is in her 20s.
Oh my God. And singing Fame. Like,
she's
going to
live forever. Unlike other people in this movie.
Oh, no.
Screen queen Helen sees Barry on the balcony, same spot as last year, being slaughtered and clawed to death by the killer.
Bummer.
And stops the show. The cops go up there to investigate, and the cops suck. They miss very obvious evidence, dripping blood.
All the blood.
From a banister.
He's also shit cops.
Hey.
Like, not very nice.
Maybe he just left.
Like, him and the sister should get together because they both suck.
They probably did.
What about that spot of blood on the railing over there? It's like it's Ace Ventura.
And then that, like, urban legend about how when a road is closed, you never go down the alleyway.
That is a legend.
You know, go around.
That's right. Everyone knows that
everyone
story.
Everyone knows that's where...
That when you go down an alley, bad things happen. And you
alleys.
Get murdered or confronted by murderers.
Why is she in the back of the cop car?
That's how Batman's parents died.
It's true.
In an alley. And we know that legend.
Yeah.
But why is she in the back of the cop car? Like, she's not under arrest. Sit up front.
She's very upset. And that's where you get your blankets. And you sit to calm down. So she sees the killer and she kicks out the window because she's stuck in the back of the car with these amazing heels. I don't know how she's done this.
It's on the
legs.
Beautiful
dress.
She's Buffy.
And then she runs into her family's store and hides, where her sister is being a frigid bitch and taking her sweet ass time. The hooker, I called it the hooker, from the alley shows up and looks her.
That's where I find most of my hookers.
Well, takes her into an unknown location.
Well, the fisherman has killed the cop.
Yeah.
And then when Elsa goes to lock the back door, he kills Elsa.
Yeah. Yes.
With his hook.
With his hook.
So Helen's running through the store trying to hide from him. She's the worst at hiding in her own store.
The fisherman's gonna find her. It's
well,
not really.
And also remember, she didn't spend that much time there. She's gonna fuck off to New York, and she doesn't even show up for inventory.
We
so
get
she
a great, like, dumbwaiter.
She doesn't
scene.
Know where anything
but
is.
But she's already been to New York. It didn't work out.
She goes into the bathroom where she finds her dead sister. Screams. So he knows exactly where she is now.
It's a pro gamer move.
And then she jumps on this, like, dumbwaiter.
Yeah, it's to move, like...
I wouldn't call him that.
Big packages up to the second level, basically. Yeah. Yeah. Like an elevator that you crank by hand.
And she jumps out of a window when she gets to the top. Into the alleyway. Firework, pretty lights, drums from a parade. They drown out her screams. She almost gets away.
Almost had it there.
It's the 4th of July parade.
No, but I mean, they had the day parade, and then there's another parade.
It's probably
parade.
The continuation
well, it's
of
called
the
a pride parade.
Parade,
Matt. Come on.
Goodbye, Helen.
She's dead.
Julie finds Ray, her only friend, and tells him her theory of who it is. She almost joins him on his boat, and the boat is called Billy Blue.
Oh my God.
What the what?
Are you serious?
He was the friend that visited Missy.
Holy shit.
I know.
So then she's like, you're the killer.
But I could explain.
So she runs off of the boat. A stranger comes to rescue her. And
what's wrong, child? Give me your hand,
he's
child.
He's like, I'll help you. And his boat is called Sweet Susie, I think. And
B-S-S-S-S.
She gets on his Sussy. Boat. They go into the water.
Right into international water so he can fight a horse.
Julie quickly realizes that
he is the killer.
He has a shrine of
hair.
Clippings and photos of them and accidents and all the stuff that Julie's been researching
yeah.
in his boot. We find out his name is Ben Willis. His daughter was Susie, who was killed in the car accident with David Egan. And he went and killed Ben Egan that night.
He killed David Egan.
David Egan. I can't keep these names straight.
And then on his way back, he got hit by their car.
Yeah, he was walking back from the cliff.
And he got hit.
Yeah, he dumped David Egan in the water. That's the body that was found. But yes. He was the one that got hit by the car.
I think he pushed him off the cliff because he was sitting on that cliff.
Mm-hmm. It was easy.
Yeah. And then he was walking back and got hit by the car.
He got popped by some idiot kids drinking and driving.
Well,
drinking and driving.
Walking.
Oh my God.
When it's dark out like that.
It's so cool.
So Ray steals a boat and chases after them. He climbs onto the boat. Julie discovers she's getting away and she goes into the ice room where she finds her two friends.
It's cold in there.
Frozen in the ice.
Yeah.
Screams again.
The padding on
prick them up.
That the padding on that bra. Wow.
Working overtime.
Julie takes off her sweater at that point also.
So hot.
She does.
She finds all of her dead friends. Slowly.
Pull it harder.
The killer finds Julie. Ray pulls a Peter Pan and a Kevin McAllister.
What?
Yeah, kind of.
He flies?
He like swings the rope.
Oh, right.
Hits Ben Willis right in the noggin.
Suck in the face!
And then he hooked up the killer and swung him. And then all you see is the killer's hook. And the hand with the hook.
Still attached.
Yeah.
But without a person attached to the hand.
Yes. And he goes into the water and overboard. So the killer is dead. So we think.
Oh.
Do you know why this man wanted you dead? And the kids say, nope.
No idea.
Nope.
That's the right answer.
I have no idea.
It's funny how now it's the right answer.
We see a year ago we were drinking and driving.
Nope. Skip all that shit.
The body was never recovered. And one year later, life is just swell.
She's shampooed.
She's in a towel.
She's conditioned.
Her hair is better.
She's talking.
She's in a towel.
Yeah, and she's steamed. Talking to Ray on the phone.
You have to speak up. I'm wearing a towel.
I said, JLH is awful at fake phone talk. Like, this scene is just like.
I love you, Ray.
I'll see you in a week. Thanks, Deborah. Like, it's like, awful. It's such bad, like, fake acting. It's like,
she's
you can
so cool.
ravage me in a week. What are you wearing? A towel.
That's so steamy in here.
God.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the movie.
So then she's alone all of a sudden. Like,
a huge shower room too.
And they all have glass. Like,
yeah, it's huge.
What public,
it's not public.
Bathroom
well,
at
a door,
college
a
has
shower.
Glass door
yeah,
showers?
Yeah, no.
Anywho.
The good ones.
The steam, she sees more letters that say, I still know.
And then she hears them.
And then the fisherman jumps at her, and that's the end of the movie.
What a twist!
And then there's a sequel.
Which
starts with it. And it's a, spoiler alert, it's a dream.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
This film was shot in 50 days.
I could tell.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Jinx.
And Melissa Joan Hart auditioned. But thought it was a ripoff of Scream, so she didn't want to do it.
She was too attached to her black cat.
We're like, sorry, we're at capacity of three named actors.
Yes,
I agree.
We can't have another three named actor.
You can't fit it on the bill.
That's why I mentioned it, because I was like, God, who would she have replaced?
We're lucky to just have Ryan Felipe here and not Ryan Paul Felipe or something.
And believe it or not, Helen and Ray, who are, you know, they're married in real life.
For 20 years, they've been married.
20 years, two kids.
I love that.
They only spoke to one another two times as characters.
And now they've been together for 20 years. They're so cute together. Mm-hmm.
I really
so
appreciate long-lasting celebrity relationships that are successful, like Goldie Hawn and Kurt.
All right, let's go around the room. Pass, fail. Allie.
Pass.
Yes.
Still like it. I like Scream better, but I like this movie. I think it's fun. It's quick. I don't think we need the extra story of like David Egan and the sister and all that. But I understand if they took that out, the movie would be like an hour because the book is a short story. Like, it's not long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I understand they needed that backstory, but it totally fits. It's a revenge movie.
I feel like we needed it to get to the ending.
No, because
with the killer.
But it could have just been that they hit this guy on the road, left him for dead, and that's the revenge. Like, we didn't need the backstory of the dead daughter with the dead boyfriend with the sister, because that wasn't them.
Well, no. Yeah. We need a red herring.
Well, I'm saying if we didn't have that, the movie would be very short, because the book is short.
Mm-hmm.
So, but no, I still like it. And can I just say, in the sequel, even though I like the sequel, the reveal of the killer in the sequel is some of the most awful screenwriting I've ever witnessed. In the sequel.
Did you watch it?
Spoiler alert. The killer from the first movie is not dead. What? And in the sequel, there's a second killer who is his son. Let's remember that the killer's name in this movie is Ben Willis. So what do you think the son killer's name in the second movie is?
Willis Ben.
Close. Ben Willis Jr.
Will Benson. The killer literally goes, Benson. They literally say it in the movie. I'm like, why don't you just write it on a whiteboard? Like, it's the most ridiculous scene ever.
Oh, Benson.
It's like, no, we got it.
Oh.
It's all good, dude. I still like it, so I will pass this movie.
The files are in the computer.
No, it's like Shutter Island, where they have to explain the movie.
Your name is Ladis. Andrew Ladis.
Somehow Palpatine returned.
All right, Matt?
No.
Fail.
It's a no for me, dog. If it was just the shower scene, maybe.
Oh, God.
I say all the time, I'm not a big fan of slashers.
You don't like slashers.
I like Scream, because, you know, that was new and it was innovative. But then, like, as soon as one movie comes out, they got to come out with 15 of the same damn thing. So you got your I Know What You Did Last Summer, your Urban Legends.
You can't even think of
Scream
more,
sequels.
You?
No, because I don't like them. You know, she doesn't like walking through grass and deserts and westerns.
No, she likes grass. I like grass. Not sand.
She doesn't like
not
walking sand. Through sand and deserts.
It's you that doesn't like walking through leaves.
I don't like slashers.
So a fail.
Fair. No.
I enjoyed how much Matt disliked this movie.
It's a shame we didn't watch it together.
So
there's still time in your life you could watch it together.
Nah, I'm good. Dude. Unless we do Unnecessary Sequel Month and then you make me do watch Will Benson. And Jack
Ben's son.
And Jack Black calling people Bombaclot with a Jamaican accent. Because seen the second
so
one.
So bad.
I blocked out that bullshit reveal you just talked about. But
all right. Guido.
Oh, yeah. I'll pass your mid-90s slasher flick full of hot chicks.
It does have hot chicks.
It does have hot chicks. I'm not going to deny that.
I mean, no guns. I mean, that's cool. But it has some brutal murder. I liked how the murder was so graphic. Like when he was picking up Elsa by the torso.
That was cool.
And she's just dangling there. I'm like, oh, gruesome. That was awesome. So, you know, it definitely had some moments of irk. And I like that in a scary movie. So, I'll pass movie.
75% DME.
I'll take it. All right. Guido. Quid pro quo.
Ah, it's my turn. You're welcome. I've chosen a movie called The Punisher, and it came out in 2004. I don't know where you can watch it right now.
Unfortunately, it is you have to either go to your local library, go to a thrift store and buy a physical copy, or pay $10 to get it off of Amazon. And
Thomas Jane only, needs
you
your can, money.
This
you
is can, the Thomas Jane Punisher.
This is Thomas
not
Jane, 2004.
The show with, what,
not the show with John Barenthal.
Broken
which
nose.
Is also very
not,
good.
Not the 80s version with Dolph Lundgren and not Punisher War. Zone starring Ray Winston.
I didn't realize there were
Punisher
so many options.
2004.
Okay. They keep remaking The Punisher and they keep failing.
Okay, so The Punisher will be the last episode of Revenge Month. We are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. You can recommend a theme month by sending us an email or on our social media, and please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next week, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.